Let's see. I think this is our third message in this series. We're doing a series on authority and dominion. Before we get started this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask, have we proven sufficiently enough from the Word of God that you have been given authority?
Yes.
I mean, can you see
yes.
that?
Yes.
Come on, let me see some hands.
Yes.
So you can see that.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't recognize your faces, but you hold your hand up, so you've been here, obviously.
Long time ago.
welcome back.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, let me see the hands again.
Amen.
So we have sufficiently proven to you from the Scriptures.
Yes.
You've seen that. Because
yes.
if we haven't gotten that far, then we need to stop and back up and work on it a little more. Now, if you can see you have authority, you can see that you have dominion, because those are the same words in the Greek. Okay. You know, we see over in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he said, and let them have dominion. And we can see that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and dominion was the first thing that went. The enemy, Satan, came in and took their dominion. But, you know, as I was studying this yesterday, I thought, God gave to man royal power, sovereign power. So if he gave it, he's the federal head of humanity. So what God gave to him, he gave to humanity. And then Adam blew it. But Jesus came and got it back. And Jesus turned to the disciples there in Matthew, and he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go. In other words, take it and go. So, in Luke chapter 19, verse 9, this is the account where Jesus... Zacchaeus was a tax collector working for the Roman government, collecting taxes from his own people for a foreign government. So he was less than number one on their most favorite person. Jesus comes walking down the street one day, and he's a short guy. And he hears that Jesus is coming, so he runs ahead of the crowd, crawls up a tree, and he's wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus stops and talks to him and says, come down, I'm going to go to your house to eat today. And this is the background here. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Now let's stop here. You know, we need to clarify this. Jesus is still on the earth. He's still in his ministry. He hasn't gone to the cross, but he says today salvation has come to this house.
Yes.
What is he talking about? This is the Greek word soteria. What is he talking? What do you mean salvation? See, we have had an exceptionally narrow view of salvation. I'll put it this way. I had an extremely very small tunnel vision of the word salvation because of the church that I grew up in. I'm not knocking them. They gave me what they had. They got me born again. Thank God for it. They provided me with a wonderful wife. And but obviously he's not talking about the same thing that I'm thinking about. Now, let's look at the word soteria. Salvation. To be saved is the word sozo. Salvation is a part of that same word. But I want you to notice in both sozo and soteria, here's what the word means. It means rescue or safety. Deliver. It means health. Salvation, save, saving, deliverance, preservation, safety. Now here's one. This is a good one. Deliverance from the molestation of enemies. Deliverance from the molestation of enemies. You see, when Jesus provided salvation for us through his work on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection, ascension to the Father, when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about the complete work of redemption. Everything that's involved in our redemption is in that word. I heard Creflo Dollar say one time he had bought a new plane, and they were coming into Atlanta for a landing, and the pilot told him, "We're coming in too hot. I can't slow it down." You ever heard this one? He and Taffy were back in the back. She was asleep. His wife Taffy, and when the pilot told him, "I'm trying to slow it down. This is a new plane, so we're shaking some bugs out, obviously." And he said, when the pilot told him that, he started walking up and down. It wasn't very far, but you know, he was walking up and down the aisle, and he started confessing safety, preservation. See, that was a part of his salvation. And he was laying hold of what was his. And he said they came in, and he finally got it, you know, he got it landed safely. But he started confessing what was his, and the plane landed, and, you know, they got out. So what he was confessing is what we're talking about here. This is involved in salvation, saving, a progressive saving, not progressively getting saved. When you're saved, when you get born again, you is or you ain't, one of the two. You know what I'm saying? You're either saved or you're not. There's just no way, two ways about it. There's no progressively getting there. Jesus comes in, takes up residence in you, changes you, gives you a new spirit. So, what's he talking about here about Zacchaeus? Deliverance. For one thing, it could be deliverance because Zacchaeus comes up to him and he says, "All that if I have taken anything from anybody illegally or improperly, I will give it back to them four times." That's a Jew. And he's saying this. Something's happened. So there's been a change. Forgiveness is in salvation. So, you know, this is one of those words that you need to keep a record of in your Bible of what the word salvation means. And when you come to that in the New Testament, come back and look at this. You need to remind yourself regularly what is involved in your soteria. Then we come on down to verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You say, well, yeah, he came to get people saved. No. We haven't got there yet, remember? And looking at that, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Are you a that? No, you're not a that. He came to seek and to save, to restore the dominion that man lost when Adam fell in the garden. Adam lost his authority or dominion, whichever way you want to say it, in the fall. That has had an effect on all of humanity. Okay? This was a major part of the mission of Jesus when he came to restore this dominion back to humanity. Jesus could have provided salvation for all of mankind, but without the restoration of the authority or the dominion for man, he would have remained under the tyrannical hand of Satan. But now that it's restored, he's under our foot. Now I want to go over some definitions that we looked at last week. Alan, would you turn off these lights here for a moment? Isn't that a nice text? I like that font. That's really nice. There we go. Okay, this is like what I just said. You know, you need to keep this around to look at. Here's something that you need to spend time on. This author discovered that the word kingdom, he got to looking into it. The word kingdom can be translated dominion. Now notice here some of the words that are involved in dominion. Reign, royal power, royal power. You know, what we're talking about in this series is something that you grow into. Okay? And to grow in it, you need to go back and think on these words. Royal power, sovereign power. Did you ever stop to think of what God gave to Adam when he breathed into his breath, he breathed his life into Adam? He told him, have dominion. He could have just as easily have said, I wasn't there, I'm just telling you what the definition says. He could have said, have sovereign power. And that would be just as accurate. But a lot of people want to play this game like, God is sovereign. In other words, there's nothing that you can do. It's all up to God. And what they're doing is they're pushing their responsibility off on God. And God says, no, I've given you the authority. Use it. Yes, God is sovereign. He is now sovereign and he will always be sovereign, but he has given us responsibility. Okay? He is sovereign, and I am submitted under His sovereignty. And He has given to me authority. Royal power, dominion, reign, king, realm. Let me see. The word kingdom in the Greek, one of the definitions, there it is. Rule not to be confused with the actual, where's my little spot? Not to be confused with an actual kingdom. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, when I think of kingdom, I think of a big castle in England with a lot of territory that king rules over. Okay, that's my concept of kingdom. But here in the Greek, that's what we're dealing with. Not an English word, we are dealing with a Greek word. It means not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. Would you say the earth is God's kingdom?
Yes.
Psalms 103. You can turn the lights back on. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne. Now get this, His throne. Where he works out of, so to speak. His throne is in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. That one word, change that one word to dominion. And His dominion rules over all.
That's right.
Luke 17. And I'm going to read this to you out of the Wade translation. Luke 17, verse 20. Now, having been asked by the Pharisees when the dominion of God was coming, you see, all of these Jews are thinking like this. They want dominion to drive out the conquering invaders, the Romans, to drive them out of their country. They have been under their thumb for years and years and years. And they're fed up with them. They want them out. But what Jesus is talking about here is a completely different word, purpose for dominion.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, having been asked by the Pharisees when the dominion of God was coming, He in answer to them said, watch what He says, the coming of the dominion of God cannot be detected by close observation. Nor will men be able to say with truth, look, here it is, or there it is. For take note, pay attention, the dominion of God is within you. What do you mean, in me? It's in the Spirit, in my spirit. When I was born again, I was given that. Lord asked me one day, where does authority come from? You know, when He asks you something, He's not asking to find out. He already knows. He wants you to know what He knows. And I got to thinking, well, where does authority come from? The throne? I thought, no, that's not what He's looking for. And he said, it comes from inside.
Yes.
From the recreated Spirit. It doesn't come through your head, through your thinking, through your intellect. It doesn't come through your feelings. Let me tell you something. Settle this right now. Feelings have nothing to do with it. It comes by faith. It's in you. You know, we're educated on a five senses platform. Everything comes from, you know, we learn through our feelings, our touch, all of those things, your eyesight, your hearing. But with God, that's not where things flow from. It flows from your spirit, man.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
That is good.
Colossians 1:27. He's talking to them about a mystery. It says in verse 27, Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't even bring up one of the five senses here at all. And then you come back over to, if I can find it, it's in here, I know it is, Romans 5. He goes from chapter 4, talking about us being made just or made righteous. And then he comes into chapter 5. It says, therefore, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, by faith, not by your feelings, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access, here it is again, by faith, into this grace in which we stand.
Yes.
You stand right now in grace.
Yes, that's right.
And if you go digging through the New Testament, you'll find that He has given every believer grace. You know, the way I heard it taught to me was, you know, well, God sometimes will come with His grace and do this and do that for you. You know, it was something God had to go and pull out of the treasury and come and... But it says He has given to us grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. I'm saved by grace. I stand in grace. And you know what? This is a grace too. This dominion is a grace. I have nothing to do with it. It's His idea. And I'm so thankful He has a good imagination.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? Okay. In the Old Testament, the word kingdom, it means rule, reign. When they translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, for, you know, they had been in captivity for a long time and their children were growing up and they didn't know Hebrew. They wanted them to be able to read the Word of God. They didn't want that to be a strange thing to them, even in captivity. So they translated the Hebrew into a Greek translation, and they translated it the same way: kingdom, royal power. So we're all saying the same thing, basically. Okay, I want to share a few scriptures with you. In Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11, out of the Wade translation, and His disciples approached Him and said to Him, why do you talk to them, This is from the parable of the sower. Okay? Why do you talk to them by means of allegories only? And he in reply said, to you it has been granted. Say, to me. He's talking to us, not just the people that were there that day. To you has been granted knowledge of the secrets concerning the dominion of the heavens. You know, if you skipped lunch and you just sat down and read this over and over to yourself, you would feel so good. I mean, look at that. To you has been granted knowledge of the secrets concerning the dominion of heavens, but to them it has not been granted. This is the same verse in the Gospel of Luke. I mean, excuse me, in Mark. It words it just a little bit different. So now listen to this. And when he was by himself, those around him, along with the 12. So there's two groups of people here right now. Well, there's three people, three groups. The ones that didn't show up, the ones that did, and the 12 that were there. And they asked him about the allegories that he had used. And he said to them, to you has been granted the secret concerning the dominion of God. So obviously what he's saying is this parable of the sower concerns the dominion of God. Back in 1978, when did we go to Del Rio? 78, 79. I got a series of cassettes that shows you how far back it was by Kenneth Copeland on the sower sows the word. And so we listened to that all the way to Del Rio and been back home. And we lived in Texas back then in Waxahachie. And, you know, it was dealing with the sower and what is sown. But he never brought up dominion. He was giving me what he had at the time. Revelation is progressive. I mean, the church is progressively learning and growing.
Yes.
But the principle there was what we were looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark 4. We just covered that one, right? Okay. Luke 8. 9 and 10. This is out of the Wade. And his disciples inquired of him what the meaning of this allegory was. He said, to you has been granted knowledge of the secrets concerning the dominion of God. Let that soak in. He's talking to you. He's saying to you, this is not something hidden from us. This is something revealed to us. He has given us the secrets concerning the dominion of God. But to the rest, all instruction is given by means of allegories, in order that as a penalty for previous indifference, though possessed of sight, may not see, and possessed of hearing, may not understand. Verse 11, This is the explanation of the allegory. The seed is God's message. What message? The dominion of God. Okay? From the time Jesus began to proclaim, this is Matthew 4:17. From the time Jesus began to proclaim and to say, repent, for the dominion of the heavens is close at hand. You'll find that, okay, now let's stop right here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Notice he says repent. Yeah. Yeah. Now remember what we were saying a while ago about salvation? Yeah. Yeah. If we preach the Bible according to our understanding, sometimes we miss some things. Repent doesn't mean to get down on your knees and pray. At least not right here. It means to think differently. In other words, reconsider. Repent. To change one's mind. In other words, to repent, to change one's mind for better. You know, sometimes things are brought up in a message, and some people go, they don't like something. They're not willing to repent and change their thinking.
Yes, amen.
You know, I was single for a number of years after I got out of high school. I was in the military for 5 years and out on my own. And when I got married, let's see, seven years. I was out on my own. And when I got married, I remember many times I would think, I'm married. I'm married. There was no feeling. I'm just trying to tell myself, wake up, change your thinking, you are married. We were in Kroger's grocery store. First time we ever went grocery shopping together. I'm pushing the cart, Lydia's in front of me, and I'm walking down this aisle, and this woman walks past me, and I turn around and look, and she goes, what are you looking at? Oh, nothing, nothing. Then I got real serious. I am married. Do not be doing that.
You did that again.
Huh? No, I did not. Not do that again. To think differently. This is, you know, if this right here, if this were to apply to salvation, there are millions of Christians today that haven't changed their minds, even though they're born again. You know, when you get saved, you change your mind to this. Let's go right on. John the Baptist, when he first came on the scene, he came with this same message. John 3, verse 2. Repent, for the dominion of the heavens is close at hand. He's talking before, he's out preaching before Jesus has come on the scene. He's right on his heels, but he hasn't started yet. Then in Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10, you on your part, therefore, must pray thus, Our Father, which art in heaven. You remember this verse in the King James?
Yes.
This is the Wade. Our Father, which art in heaven, Let thy self-revelation be held in reverence. Let thy dominion be established. Let thy dominion be established. Let thy will be accomplished as perfectly upon earth as they are in heaven. He's not just wanting his dominion established in the earth, because it has to have a body to be how can I say it? It needs a body to be manifested through. You know, if you just buy a print one of the Bibles, you don't have to take pictures. Okay. Matthew 4:23. I want you to see what Jesus' opinion of this is. Matthew 4:23 out of the Wade translation. And Jesus made a circuit over the whole of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues of the Galileans and proclaiming the good news about God's dominion. Matthew 4:23. What's the problem? That's what I just read. And Jesus made a circuit about the whole, all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues of the Galileans and proclaiming the good news about God's dominion. About God's dominion and curing every kind of disease and every kind of malady among the people. All right, let's settle on one thing here. Matthew 4:23. Okay, let me read it to you out of this Bible. And Jesus made a circuit about the whole of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues of the Galileans and proclaiming the good news about God's dominion and curing every kind of disease and every kind of malady among the people. So they didn't type it in the way that it's supposed to be. Is that what you're saying? Okay, all right, move on. But notice, he comes, and everywhere he's going, he's talking about this. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus addressing him, this is Nicodemus. Jesus addressing him said, "In very truth I tell you, unless a man is begotten from above, he can have no experience of the dominion of God." So you got to be born again. You can't just say, "Well, I'm going to do this," if you're not born again. If you're not a part of the family, ain't going to work, folks. And those of you that are teachers, don't come to me after service and say, "Don't use the word ain't. That doesn't sound very good." I'm just trying to impress you with the facts. Drop down to verse 5. Jesus answered him. Nicodemus says, "Well, how can a man be born again when he's old?" And Jesus answered him, In very truth, I tell you, unless a man is begotten from water, natural birth, and from spirit, he cannot enter into dominion, into the dominion of God. You see, a lot of us got in and we have had access to this dominion, but we have just never known about it. Thank God. Thank God we got in, and thank God we're learning. So now let's come back to the parable of the sower. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find the parable of the sower. And I think for you to get the most out of this parable, you need to read all three of them together and flipping back and forth and looking at the way it reads in one place. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you'll get the most out of that that parable. So you just compare their wording. So, Matthew 13, in verse 18 and 19, this is the New King James. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed from the wayside. Now, if you read this one in any of the other Gospels, it says whenever a person hears it and doesn't understand it, the enemy comes, or when they don't understand. See, I don't know. Does it say that in the other Gospels? When the seed is sown, the thief, Satan, comes to steal it. It right away. And it almost looks like, well, what's the use? I mean, if as soon as you get it, he comes and takes it. Well, this one explains. He says, when you don't understand. That's the key. You don't understand. But it says that he has given to us the privilege of knowing these. Therefore, you can understand. So don't throw up your hand and say, well, what's the use?
Yeah.
You can.
Absolutely.
Just set that in your heart right now. I will. I'm gonna know what this is about, and I'm gonna walk in this. It's part of my redemption.
Yes.
So I'm gonna use it. Matthew 13, 18, and this is the Wade translation. On your part, then, hear the explanation of the allegory of him who sowed. Whenever anyone hears the message concerning the dominion of God, all right? Without understanding it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown on the edge of the path. What the farmers have told me is it's the turn row. You know, you come down one and you turn, and all the equipment behind you turns and goes back, and it becomes compacted. How many of you are hard-hearted?
No.
Come on.
No.
Just determine. No, I have a soft heart,
yeah.
And the word is sown in me, and it grows.
Yeah. Yes, amen. Yeah. That's good.
Okay?
Yeah.
The word of dominion, you're hearing it this morning.
Yes.
It is yours. Now, let's back up. You are hearing the word of authority this morning. How is authority exercised? Huh? By what? You got to say something. It won't work for you just because you're thinking about it. You got to do something with it. You got to pull the trigger. Okay? Can you agree on that? Don't let go of that. Whenever anyone hears the message concerning the dominion of God without understanding it, you should have a bit of an understanding. Now, the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown on the edge of the path. Luke 8 and verse 11 out of the Wade translation. This is the explanation of the allegory. The seed is God's message. What seed? The seed of dominion. The seed of teaching dominion. You've been told this morning how dominion works. It's yours. You are a child of God. He has given to you royal authority. To you. You know, I got to thinking about this. Let me close with this. Whenever anyone hears the message concerning the dominion of God, what message? He's talking about dominion. The enemy comes to steal your words. He comes to steal your words. If he can't have your words, if he can't get you to speak the problem, if he can't get you to line up your words with circumstances, your words of dominion are what you want, not what you have, not what you're seeing. You have dominion to speak to something. Now I'm going to throw you a curve. There's one little thing that goes along with this. And I know everybody's going to jump up in the chairs and do a dance, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It starts with a P. Patience. You don't let go just because it doesn't look like it changed. You're speaking to it. Your faith is growing. Be unmovable. That's the word right there. That's it. Your enemy comes to steal your words. You've been given dominion, royal power, sovereign power. You've been given power to reign through your words. And what he's going to come and do, he's going to come and slap a circumstance right in your face and say it's not working. Just say, yeah, you're still a liar. And my words are working because the word says I have that kind of word power. You know, this is something that terrifies the devil. When you understand that you have, that your words, when spoken in faith, have royal power behind them to change things. That absolutely freaks him out. And that's why he tries to get so many people to talk the problem, to get frustrated, to get frustrated and start talking the problem. That's what he wants. Just say, thank God the word is working and it's coming out of my mouth. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Pastor asked me to do something at the end, but before I do, the weight is not in digital form. In other words, somebody has to type it for all of us so we can see it on the screen. I don't know who got to type these ones today. I want to say thank you, thank you. But I was not trying to argue with Pastor. But the Mark 4:23, he was reading, but what we were reading there was actually Matthew 6, 9 and 10 in the Wade. So it could have been that whoever was that typed it, and thank you again. You see, we are so grateful for the ministry of helps that do those things for us. Amen. There's not an app where you can find the Wade and look at it. It's just, it was, yeah, at least yet. Maybe somebody's getting the idea to do it. But I wasn't trying to argue, is that that was Matthew, Jesus' prayer. And then what he was reading was Mark 4:23. So perhaps it was a skipping of reading, of typing. So, but anyway, for the sake of all of you that were paying attention. but praise the Lord. Would you just lower your heads just in reverence? Father, we're grateful today for the people that are here. And Lord, only you know if everyone has been born again. Jesus, you said we must be born again of the Spirit, not just of our parents. And so, Lord, I pray today, if there's anyone in our midst that does not know Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that they have indeed been born again, they're a new creature, all purchased by the blood of Jesus. Nothing that you can do, no works of ours can ever be good enough. It took the righteous one without sin to die on the cross for us. So Lord, if there's anyone here today, I ask you to touch their heart, that they may leave here today knowing that they belong to you. I pray, Lord, for those that may have been feeling like they've lost their way. They've not been in fellowship with you like they know that they could and should. Once again, Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, able to restore them, bring them back to the fold, like if they had never left. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Perhaps there's somebody, Lord, that desires to receive more from you. They've heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Lord, perhaps there's somebody here that needs a healing. You're the healer divine. You're the restorer of the soul. Perhaps somebody here, Lord, has been in their mind, been molested by thoughts of defeat that has them down and depressed. Lord, we thank you. You're the healer of the brokenhearted. Lord, perhaps there's somebody here that feels like they have a broken heart. Something has happened to them. I thank you, Lord. You will heal them this morning. The broken heart will be broken no more. It'll be whole. And so I thank you, Lord. You're touching hearts. So now I ask you, are you here today? And you would say, I need to make sure that Jesus is my Lord. I don't know that if I've been born again. I want to be. I don't understand it all, but I want it. If Jesus said I needed it, I want it. And so if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, if you're not sure that you've been born again, going to church, believing. Did you know believing is not enough? The Bible says that the devils believe and they tremble. Jesus said, you must be born again. It's a miracle. And it can happen to you today. So if there's anyone here today, any of those areas apply, you need to make sure that you know that you know. If you were going to die today, you're going to heaven. If that is you, or if you have felt like you have a broken heart, your heart has been broken by something, Jesus wants to heal you today. If you need to make a decision, I want to walk closer with the Lord than what I've been walking. I've not been dominating. I have been dominated, and it has not been by the Lord. The world has dominated me. Others have dominated me. If you can answer anything like that, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you today. Praise the Lord. I see one hand. I see another hand. I see another hand. I see another hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I was reading that. I think it was in one of the meetings, and Dr. Jacobs was ministering, and he read about in Luke 4:18 how that Jesus was anointed. The whole passage was wonderful, but the phrase that he was anointed to heal the brokenhearted, just all of a sudden it just was amplified out of that page that I was reading. And I believe that the Lord was telling me that he wanted to do that today. So I have a sense that all of you who lifted your hands had to do with that. Would you come up here at front? I was not going to do that necessarily, but would you, those that have raised your hands, the Lord Jesus wants to minister to you. He wants to heal your broken heart. So if you're ready for him to, you know, you can try to do it yourself, and you can. Only he can do it. He will do it for you. Thank you. Thank you for responding. Praise the Lord. Would you, yes, thank you. Would you take my microphone? Thank you.
all stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, turn and greet someone around you like you mean it. And you're dismissed.